Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
Good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. This is Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries. We want to give you just a moment for all of our Facebook folks that are going to be joining and hopping on here live on Facebook. We want to give you an opportunity to hop on here and to be a part of this broadcast. And we also want to make sure we get plugged in here so we don't get connection. So just give me just a second, guys, to get everybody on here. While you're jumping on here, we're going to make sure we've got everything squared away so everybody can join us again. If you would tag some folks or share this with some individuals that would that you believe that would benefit from jumping on here to the broadcast. And I want to We're going to be continuing our series on Teshuvah. I'm not going to go into detail about Teshuvah. If you want to know more about that, you'll have to go to our previous broadcast. You can find that here on Facebook. If you'll go to our videos, if you're watching by YouTube, it's right here on our YouTube channel. And you can, all you got to do is type in End Time Headlines and it's going to show up. If you're listening by podcast, it should be our last podcast that we did. So it's there. Go back, listen to that, get the foundation for this series in which we're going on. So in this message tonight, I'm going to be dealing with the season of supernatural grace to forgive. We're entering into a season of supernatural grace to forgive. So that's what I want to be talking about. Because one of the things that those who observe Teshuvah during this season, one of the first things the Lord deals with you in is in the area of forgiveness. Not only there's a horizontal and there's vertical forgiveness. You have forgiveness with God, okay? But then there comes a time you have forgiveness with man. It's one thing to have forgiveness with the Lord, and we should be doing that during this 40 days of Teshuvah. We should be seeking the Lord, drawing near to Him in repentance, asking Him to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness as He prepares our lives and our destiny for the next 12 months or the next year that's coming up. We prepare ourselves by humbling ourselves before the Lord and asking Him to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But what do we do when we get back up? When we get up off the altar, when we're confident that He has forgiven us, well, we need to begin to forgive others. Because I believe that when you're truly forgiven, come on, from heaven, forgiven by the Lord, you are going to desire to forgive others. Because the same mercy you've been given, you're going to extend that mercy and you're going to extend that forgiveness. And this comes with a great blessing, but it also comes with a great warning. I'm going to say that again. This message comes with a great blessing for those who would heed it and be obedient to this word, but it also comes with a great warning because of circumstances and situations that will transpire if it's not heeded. During the season of Teshuvah, we need to come into agreement. This is where I want you guys to come into agreement. I'm going to come into agreement with you. You're going to come into agreement with me. I took some notes on this. And I want to read these to you as I felt like when I was putting this together that the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. During this season, this next 40 days of Teshuvah, actually it started on Saturday night at sundown. And now we've gone Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. We're 4 days into this now. During this season of Teshuvah, we need to come into agreement for the prodigal sons and daughters to come back to the Father. There are many in the body of Christ that are in a place of prodigal living and has been in this state for some time now. This condition was produced by a multitude of factors and vary with each person. Some, it's been from the luring of temptation by the lust of other things and others, it's been by other things. So in tonight's segment, we're talking about the season of supernatural grace to forgive, but it goes even beyond that. I wanted to get your attention with this because we're going to deal with probably five different topics on this series. Okay, but tonight, as we enter into this supernatural grace to forgive and be forgiven, we're talking about the word teshuvah means a time to return. A time to return. Somebody say it's a time to return. So when we talk about prodigal sons and daughters, these are individuals who began a good work, but somewhere down the road, somewhere down the path, they strayed course. Come on. They got lost in the process. They got entangled with something. Something happened and it caused them to be in a state of prodigal living. So it's time for us as the body of Christ, as we enter into the season of Teshuvah, to begin to pray, to begin to intercede, and begin to travail for them as we come into agreement with all of heaven. And as believers, we can come into the power of agreement that they will Teshuvah, or they will return. They'll turn and come back. So there's a few things that I wrote down that I want to share with you that I believe is the reason why we see a lot of sons and daughters that are in a prodigal state. Now, when I say sons and daughters, this can be literal. It can be literally your son or sons. It can be literally your daughter or your daughters. It can be literally sons and daughters. But it can also be a neighbor. It could be a coworker. It could be a family member. It could be a spouse. It could be somebody who, in the eyes of God, they're still a son and daughter who once had a relationship with God. They was once serving God. They were on fire for God. They were living for God. But through circumstances, they are now distant. They are now AWOL from the house of God, from the Word of God, from the presence of God. You don't see them. You can't find them. Okay, so there's a couple things I wrote down here. Number one, here's some reasons, here's some hooks or bait, if you would, that the enemy is drawing these sons and daughters out of the fold and drawing them into prodigal living. Number one is the lust of pleasure of earthly things, if you're taking notes. Number one, the lust of earthly pleasures. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you don't have. You murder and you covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." So this is just the bottom guy. And I'm going to show you an example of all these when we get into this, guys. So this is just the bottom line, that many people, because they get their eyes off the Lord and they get their eyes on materialistic things, on the pleasures of earthly things, it draws them, come on, to prodigal living. Number two is hurts and wounds that have been inflicted inside the house of God. Let me say that again. Hurts and wounds that have been inflicted inside the house of God. Listen to this. Many of you, even watching this, either you can relate to this or you have a personal friend, a relative, a coworker. Like I said, whoever fits the shoe, wear it. Many have abandoned the house of God in this hour because of the hurts and wounds they have obtained inside the church and from many leaders behind the pulpits. The biting, devouring among one another has driven many from the church. They have developed a perception of believers based upon its followers. Let me explain that. You've got a lot of people that they won't step foot in the house of God because they base every believer as in Judas. They put their eyes on Judas, so therefore every believer is a backstabber and he's going to betray Christ. Maybe they didn't get the luxury of getting introduced to a Judas, but they had a deal with a Peter. a foul mouth. Come on, Christian. A Christian who is praising the Lord with their mouth on Sunday, but at work Monday through Friday, they're cussing everybody out. They're swearing like a sailor, swearing like a mechanic, using four-letter words and saying all kinds of stuff, GD and everything else. But yet on Sunday morning, hallelujah, praise God. They're in the house of God with the holy hands lifted up, singing the chorus of their favorite song during praise and worship. Going through the motions, speaking Christianese on Sunday, but talking like the devil Monday through Saturday. Or maybe they've encountered the other side of Peter that once was walking with God, but now they're denying God. And now our perception of every believer is a perception of Peter. It's a perception of, well, it's only a matter of time. They may be on fire for God now, but eventually they're going to be out of the house of God. They're going to be out of the prayer. They're going to be out of the word. They're going to be out of the presence of God, and they're going to be around a campfire, and they're going to be drinking beer, and they're going to be smoking bud, and they're going to be denying that they ever knew Christ, and they don't want to talk about Jesus anymore. Huh? Come on. I'm talking about hurts and wounds inside the house of God. Or maybe you've run into a Thomas who, when everything was good, he believed, but when everything was bad, he didn't believe, and he said, I'm not going to believe unless I put my hands in his side, into his wounds, and see the prints on his hands, and then I'll believe. So you've got, maybe you've got a lot of people that they started out on fire for God, but then they got around a bunch of unbelieving Christians. They didn't believe God could raise the dead. They didn't believe he still heals today. They don't believe he could baptize in the Holy Ghost today. They don't believe that God wants them to prosper today. They don't believe in tithing. They've run into all these Christians that have, come on, they've doubted their way out of their faith. And now you don't see them in the church anymore. You don't see them in the house of God anymore because they don't believe anything God does today is still, that he's able to do it today. So because of these things, our experiences, and I'm going to tell you something, guys, this is the sad indictment of this. We get our eyes off of Jesus, and instead of following Jesus, we begin to follow men. We begin to follow women. We begin to follow people in leadership. We begin to follow the apostles. We begin to follow the prophets. We begin to follow this individual and that individual to a point where we begin to deceive ourselves, and we no longer are like good Bereans. And no matter what's coming out of their mouth, we never run it through the filter of the Word of God. And we take it as matter of fact. We take it as gospel truth. And we don't rightfully divide the Word for ourselves. And because of this, when these individuals fall into a moral failure, they fall into sin, they backslide, come on somebody, they go into apostasy, whatever the case may be, you'll see a domino effect in the body of Christ where all these other individuals who looked up to them will begin to say, well, if they fail, then I don't have a chance. Because and listen, they will fall out, and then before you know it, they have gone into prodigal living. And when you sit down and talk to them, what was the thing that led to this? And they will say, well, brother so-and-so fell, sister so-and-so fell, the pastor had adultery and split the church, the pastor was embezzling money and it split the church, the pastor was sleeping around and sleeping with two women at one time, and or this happened or that happened, and it was all about an individual. And the problem is, again, their faith was never in God, it was in them, it was in the people. And here, this is the problem. If we put our faith in people, when people fail, we fall with the people. But if we put our faith in God, in whom cannot fail. Can I tell you something, friends? No matter what goes on in heaven and earth, no matter what disasters come, no matter what failures come, no matter what apostasy comes on the scene, no matter the wars and rumors of wars, no matter how dark the church may look in this hour, can I tell you the truth? The gospel truth is this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. anymore. He's still sitting on the throne. He's still in charge. He's still the boss. He's still in control. He's not caught off guard. And all these things must come to pass because it has been written. It has been foretold. And guys, we can either get on board with what God is doing, or we can become a sad statistic of what the Word of God says, that many shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So number two, hurts and wounds from inside the house of God has caused many to stray from the house of God. Now, when I say the house of God, you can take that however you want. We could talk about a brick and mortar church. I could talk about a home group. I can talk about a cell group, whatever it is, whatever your ecclesia, the gathering of saints that you're a part of, the body of Christ that you're a part of, that's what I'm talking about. All right. So number one, the lust of pleasures of earthly things has drove people from the house of God. Number two, the hurts and wounds that have been inflicted from inside the house of God has drove people from the house of God. Number three, depression and oppression. Many have fallen away from the body of Christ in this hour from strongholds of oppression and depression that is gripping many in this hour. The enemy has strategically isolated so many through social media, and many are not experiencing true fellowship and relationship with other believers. Watch this. Here's what happens. We get offended on social media. We get offended by a Facebook post, by a Twitter post, a Snapchat post, an Instagram post, a blog post, a chat room. Somebody offends us on social media, and because we've developed these a facade, and I'm not saying that's for everybody, because I've developed really good, strong relationships with a lot of Facebook friends. But can I tell you that is that's a minority. The majority is falsehood. It's fantasy land. You may have 5,000 friends, but I'm going to tell you something. They're not all your friends. They're not going to be there when you need them to be. They're going to be absent when you're in the valley. They're going to be nowhere to be found when you are in a crisis, when you need prayer, when you need intercession, when you need somebody to pull you up out of the miry clay and out of the pit. Come on, out of that 5,000, you'll probably find five if you're lucky. I shouldn't say lucky. Lord, forgive me for that. There's no such thing as luck. You'll find five if you're blessed. That's the correct word I want to use right there. All right. So as a result of this, social media is good, but it's also bad in many essence because it is isolated people. We talked about this. Oh, I can't remember who. It was a group of us, I believe, after church, or we were talking about how this has... We're seeing an epidemic of this happening where social media is beginning to ice. It's pulling people away from other people sociably, physically. We're getting to a point where we cannot physically interact with one another. We can't physically talk to one another. We can't. Come on. You got young people that can't look each other in the eyes and talk to each other. They can't make facial contact, eye contact with one another. They have to, because all they ever known is text or messaging or chatting in a social media room, and they can't make any social interaction in reality. It's like I heard a pastor say this weekend, there, you know, years ago, when you lived in a neighborhood, and I can remember this growing up, all of us as neighbors, we would all come out of our homes and we would go out into the street and we would socialize with our neighbors. Our neighbors would, and they're, you know, when I was growing up, obviously I was one of the kids, but my parents would socialize with the other parents, and then those kids of those parents would socialize with those kids. And as a neighborhood, as a whole, we were pretty close knit. We all knew each other. We knew what our occupations were. We knew how many people was in the house. We knew there's Billy Jean, there's Greg, there's Susie, there's John. John works at so-and-so down the street, and his wife is a stay-at-home mom, and they have two daughters. And down the road over there, three houses down there at the blue house, that's John, and he has three kids and two daughters and one son. We knew everybody. We were a close-knit community. But you fast forward to 2019, and because of the explosion of social media and the isolation through apps and through technology and this, My goodness, guys, you can't even see kids even out. It's 68 degrees or 70 degrees, perfect day, blue skies, no clouds, absolute perfect day to be outside, and you can't find a single kid in the neighborhood even to go outside. You don't see people playing out there on the skateboards. You don't see them riding their bikes. You don't see them fishing. You don't see them going hiking. You don't see them walking. You don't see them playing. Instead, where are they at? They're inside the house. They're on their iPads. They're on their computers. They're on their telephones. And they're communicating. Oh, they're talking, but it's all interaction through social media. And there is no physical reaction. So we think this is a good thing. But there's polls that's been taken. There's statistics that's come out. And it's shown and it's proven time and time again. It's actually causing more. Listen, depression and oppression is at an all-time high right now. Why is that? Because we are developing false relationships. It's fake. It's not reality. It's not true. Guys, if Facebook was to shut down today, how many of these individuals would contact you? How many of them would try to get a hold of you? Oh, come on. It's quiet in here tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. We got to get back to talking to people, having a relationship with people. The first thing that happens when you become depressed and oppressed, you begin to isolate yourself from other people. You cut yourself off from communication. You cut yourself off from fellowship, from relationship. You begin to isolate yourself. You begin to run. You begin to hide. You begin to go into seclusion. You become recluse and you don't go out. You don't want to go to church anymore. You don't want to talk to people. And the last thing you want to do is get around a bunch of people that's praising the Lord because you don't feel like praising the Lord. You don't want to go out to eat and talk to anybody because you don't have anything to talk about, because you don't want to talk to them because you're oppressed, you're depressed, and you're wearing this like a badge of honor. And the enemy is just rooting you on, and the devil is just cheering you on as he pulls you away into isolation, into depression. But the Holy Spirit is wooing you. And he's telling you, all the way from the beginning, I told you it is not good for man to be alone. Do you realize that, God? Even from the beginning of creation, when he created man and woman, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. Quit trying to let the devil tell you, well, this is just how I am, Brother Ricky. This is my personality. I'm a lone ranger. The devil is a liar. You were not created to be alone. Now, I'm not saying you got to have 1,000 friends, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'd rather have quality than quantity any day of the week. Even Jesus had quantity and not, or he had quality and not quantity. He had an inner core of 3 people. And one thing I've learned is the closer I get to the cross, the smaller my circle gets. Golly, let me say that again. The closer I get to the cross, the higher I go in him, the smaller my circle becomes. It may start out big, but it gets smaller as I get closer to him. So number one, the lust of pleasure of earthly things is pulling people out into prodigal living. Number two, hurts and wounds that has been sustained in the house of God is pulling people out of the house of God. Number three, depression and oppression is pulling and keeping people out of the house of God, and they've gone into prodigal living. Listen to this, Hebrews chapter 10. No wonder the Lord said in Hebrews 10:24 through, I believe it was the Apostle Paul, said, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another in so much more as you see the day approaching. Hello, that should be a wake-up call to somebody. If the devil's convincing you, come on, to stay away from gathering with other believers, you got to know that the Word of God tells you the opposite of it. Y'all, you got to let that compute right now. I don't know who that's for tonight. But it's the will of God that you assemble with other believers. Why? So that you can stir one another up. You can exhort one another, edify one another, equip one another. So listen, so that if I'm living like a fool and I get around some brothers and sisters that are on fire for God and they recognize I'm living like a dummy, they can stir me up through correction and rebuke and help me to get on the straight and narrow. Some of y'all need that in your life. All right. Number four, and I'm seeing this a lot in the house of God, is the spirit of pharmakia that's gripping God's people. It's one thing that we see the spirit of pharmakia gripping the spirit of what? I'm going to talk about that. Hold on for a second. It's one thing for the people on the outside to be gripped by this spirit, but it's another thing for the people of God being gripped by this. What is pharmakia? It's actually, when you study this out, you can find this in Revelation 9. Let me just read this scripture, Revelation 9, verse 20 through 21. Now, this is dealing with during the tribulation, there's all these things are happening. The bowls are being opened, the vial judgments, the scrolls are being opened, all these things. The judgment is being poured out upon the world, okay? And it says, those who were not killed by the plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which could neither see nor hear nor walk. In verse 21 of Revelation 9, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorcery. Somebody write that down. Or if you're taking notes, if you got your Bible open, underline that or highlight that. The word is sorcery. It's right there. Or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Now, the word sorceries here in Greek is pharmakia. And it's where we get pharmaceutical. It's where we get pharmacy. It alludes to illicit drugs. Come on. Many times, it's even prescribed by a pharmacist. You got to show your ID. You got to get a prescription for these things. But they are, it's an epidemic. Look at the opioid epidemic. This is the spirit of pharmakia that's behind this. And the Lord calls this sorcery. Now, when I say sorcery, you think of Harry Potter. You think of a wizard or and I could name all these terms. I just can't think right off the top of my head. But this is what you think of in your head. You think of a wizard with a hat on and he's incantations and chants and omens and curses and sorcery. That's what you think of when you think of the word sorcery. But again, in Revelation 9, this is not what this is talking about. He's talking about pharmakia, drug abuse, the stronghold and the grip of drugs on a generation. And guys, we're losing them in the house of God to this. In fact, listen to these statistics. This is absolutely sobering. About 3.4 million young adults between the ages of 18 to 25 had an alcohol use disorder in 2017, which is about 10% of all young adults in the U.S. About 2.5 million young adults had an illicit drug use disorder in 2017. Now, this is 2 years old. Could you imagine what it is today? That's 7.3% of the entire population of the United States had drug disorder use. Heroin use among young adults between 18 and 25 years of age doubled in the past decade. Again, this is a two-year-old survey. All right? So we're seeing this. I believe this is going to hit home for a lot of people. And don't worry, we're going to pray at the end of this segment. And then number five is we've got a lot of Jonas. We've got Jonas that are called to God, called for a purpose, but that they're running from their call of God. They're just running, guys. They were called. Maybe they got a prophetic word over them. They went to a youth conference, maybe at the Ramp in Alabama. Or maybe they went to the Warrior Fest in Cleveland, Tennessee with Perry Stone and them. Or they went to another different conference. Maybe they went to the Harvest Conference or whatever there was in California. And maybe they came forward and they knew they were called of God. They received the witness of the Holy Spirit. They received the prophetic word. And then all of a sudden they get home and they just something, the devil just convinced them they can't do it, or fear grips them and they begin to just run. They don't want to count the cost. They don't want to take up their cross and follow the Lord. They don't want to sacrifice this and give up this. So they're running from the call. All right. Now, I want to show you, so number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. I want to show you a picture of all these, and then we're going to pray. Number one, we can see a picture of a believer that takes his eyes off his inheritance in the kingdom and begins to take and put his eyes on the temporary pleasures of the world and convinces himself, and no doubt the devil was involved in this, that convinced him to abandon, come on, the arms of his father and begin to throw his arms into the arms of the devil. Now listen to this. Luke chapter 15, here it is. There was a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. In other words, give me my inheritance. So he divided it to them to his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country. Here it is. Boom. Running. What drew him out there? He said, I want a taste of the world. I want to see if I can get famous. I want to see if I can get good fortune. I want to see if I can get my name in the lights. I want to see if I can get prestige and fame and fortune. I want to get notoriety. I want to be somebody. I want to get out there where somebody can know my name, because it doesn't seem like anybody knows me here. Oh, look, I could really preach right there. See, we've got a whole generation that's so driven to get to the top in the house of God, and because they're not willing to humble themselves before God and be exalted in due season, and because they can't, somebody won't give them a microphone and give them a pulpit and give them a platform and give them a network and give them this and give them that, so they can get all this notoriety. And because they don't want to take, come on, the steps it takes to get there, they'll go in somewhere else where it's the grass is greener. Come on, where it's the gold is flashing, it's sparkly, it looks good. So listen to this. He says, give me what's rightfully mine, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this thing on my own. So he goes out, and the Bible says he journeyed to a far country and he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land and began to be in want. And he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him in his fields to feed swine. This was the last stage of his rebellion. Okay? And then in verse 17, listen to this. But when he came to himself, I want to say this. This is something I want to point out. It never said how long of a time it took for him to come to himself. But this is why I love Teshuvah. This, clean out your ears and listen to me. This is why we're in a supernatural grace to forgive. To come on, it's not just forgive, but forgiveness, restoration, reconciliation. Come on, we're in a supernatural period right now. There's a supernatural grace on this season to begin to see these things come to pass. Because the argument I always get, well, brother, shouldn't this happen anytime? Can't God answer our prayers anytime? Yes, he can. But there's a purpose and a plan for every season under heaven. This is why I'm imploring the body of Christ to come together in agreement and lock arms together and begin to pray and begin to intercede and begin to travail. Because the Bible says it never said how long of a time it took, but he went from having an inheritance, taking his inheritance, going and living in prodigal living. And then after a duration of time, we don't know how long it is, it says he came to himself. Come on. And it says, and he says to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He says, I will arise and go to my father. In other words, come on, he began to test Shaval. He began to turn. He began to turn back. He made a, oh, come on, somebody. He made a point in his heart. He made up his mind to turn. And supernatural grace came upon him. No doubt there was praying. There was interceding. There was travailing from the house of the Father. And then at a time, at the right season, come on, he came to himself and he turned back and he ran to the arms of the Father. I got to tell somebody tonight that the Heavenly Father is waiting on you to turn back to him. If you're listening to this tonight and you are one of these prodigal sons and daughters, maybe it's not you and it's somebody you're praying and you're believing for. Come on, now's the time to bombard heaven and begin to believe for them to return. Begin to believe for them to return. Now here's something else I wrote down. I want to read this just like I got it the other day. Quote, the Lord is going to anoint you and empower you to go into the wilderness and begin to bring back the captives out of the enemy's camp to restore and recover that which is lost. Let me give you the scripture he gave me. Luke 15:1-7. This is so powerful. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to the Lord, to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" So, and I'm going to paraphrase this for sake of time, guys. "So that all of heaven may rejoice over the one that is lost, and not the 99 that are safe and sound." So again, let me say this again. The Lord is anointing some of you in this hour, and he's empowering you. You'll know who this is for. If this is your word, you're going to know it's for you, because you're going to have the family in these places in the wilderness. I'm going to explain what the wilderness is in just a second. You're going to know if it's you. Some of y'all is going to have family members in the wilderness. You're going to have neighbors there. You're going to have coworkers. You're going to have spouses there. You're going to have family, whatever it is. Listen to this. The Lord is anointing and empowering some of you to go into the wilderness. The bars, the clubs, the highways, the byways, the crack house, the whorehouse. And the list goes on. A place you would never step foot in as a believer, come on, to be yoked with other people. But sometimes we got to go into the enemy's camp in the power of the Lord to begin to bring back the captives. Listen, true story, I knew a prophetess, a real prophetess, this woman of God, and I'm not going to name her name because I didn't contact her first to ask if I could share the story, but I'm sure she wouldn't care. But nevertheless, she's a woman of God, a woman of prayer. She can preach the house down. A friend of hers were praying one night in her home, in her living room, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to her. And in a vision, she saw a man sitting with another man at a table at a Hooters restaurant. And she, in the vision, she saw what he looked like. She saw what he was wearing. And she saw him sitting with another man having a conversation with him. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to her and says, "Get up, get out of your house, get into your car, go down." And she told him, and the Spirit of the Lord said, "He is at the Hooters on Preston Highway in Louisville, Kentucky. Go down there, walk into the restaurant. He's going to be, and look for him, because he's going to be wearing exactly what I showed you. And he's going to be sitting with the man that I showed you, he's going to be sitting with. And when you get there, I'll give you the words to speak unto him." So her and her friend got into the car, drove down to the Hooters restaurant. I said they went to the Hooters. They didn't go to church. They didn't go to prayer meeting. They didn't go, come on, to a Christian Bible study. They went to a Hooters restaurant and bar. And they walked in, and she began to look around, and all of a sudden, she sees the man in which she saw the vision, sitting with the man she saw in the vision. And when she locked eyes on him, she began to walk towards this man. The Spirit of the Lord quickened her and says, I want you to go up to this man, open your mouth and say, thus saith the Lord. So she walks up to him. Now, could you imagine? She walks up to him, says, sir, I don't know who you are and you don't know me, but I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. She said, and I was praying and minding my own business. And trust me, I did not want to come here. This is not a place I go to. But the Spirit of the Lord quickened me and told me to come here tonight. And the word of the Lord says unto you tonight, you are running from me. You are running from your call, running from your purpose. And you are trying to be as a Jonah and trying to run the opposite direction in which I called you to do. And she began to, in other words, she began to rebuke him in the name of the Lord and began to give him a strong warning. The man began to weep. The man broke down in tears right there at Hooters, fell out of his chair and began to weep and cry like a baby. He says, oh my gosh, began to cry. And he left the restaurant, left the man sitting, paid the bill, got in his car, cried and wept all the way home. It got his heart right with the Lord. And days later, she found out that he died in a car accident. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the Lord. Listen, God is always speaking, guys. Let me tell you a story, a true story. Just happened to me recently. Last week, I had to go somewhere with my youngest son. He's 4 years old. And if you've got a kid, whether it's a daughter or a son, or you've got two kids, it's even worse. But many times you get distracted. You get your attention turned away from things because you got to get them in the seat. You got to get them buckled in. They drop something. They spill something. They're asking for this, that, this. You got to watch them from getting hit by a car when you're trying to get them out of the car, hold their hand. It's always something. So you're distracted. You got to, come on. You're forced to constantly do two things at one time, to multitask. That's the word I was trying to find there. Thank you, Lord. So here last week I was out with my youngest son, and we had to go to a car dealership because I had to get some stuff done to our vehicle, and I brought my iPad with me, and I was going to bring it so I can do some reading. While I was there, while my youngest son was going to play his game, I was going to do some reading while we're sitting in the waiting room. So we go there, this, that, we're coming out, and apparently I put my iPad up on the top of the vehicle, but I did not know that. Buckled him in, drove away, got home. I couldn't find my iPad. I searched the house, searched the car, searched this, called some restaurants, and it nowhere to be found. And I was discouraged. I was like, oh, I cannot believe I lost this. I must have. And I knew that I didn't leave it somewhere. Like I didn't leave it in a seat somewhere. I didn't leave it at a table because I don't do that. And I said, where could it be? And I just drove myself about nuts, crazy. A good friend of mine, I asked him to pray about it. In fact, our whole intercessory prayer group online here on Facebook online, I had everybody pray. And I said, I want you guys to agree with me that we'll find this, my tablet. Because it means a lot to me. I've got a lot of notes on there. I've got sermons on there, this and that. And it's just, there's a lot of things on there. So we prayed. We agreed. 2 days went by, 3 days. And then about the third day, I just said, Lord, I don't know where it's at. But if it's out there, I just pray that, you know. And I locked it down, did everything I could. And I said, if somebody's got it, I just pray that they be blessed in Jesus' name. Lord, I know you'll take care of it. I just bless them in the name of the Lord. Well, about 5 days goes by, and this past weekend I'm out, we're out at lunch, and I get a phone call, and I looked at my phone and I knew it was a local number. I didn't recognize it. I answered it, and this individual on the other end was the car salesman that was up there at the dealership, and he said, and he called my name, and I said, yes. I said, yeah, this is him. And he said, There was a man that came by the dealership, and his name is Richard. Well, that got my attention because my real name is Richard. I said, that's interesting. And he said, did you go through a car wash with your truck there in town? I said, yeah, I did. He said, well, he says that something fell off the top of your car and at the car wash, and he's got it there, and he needs you to come down and verify what it is. Well, I already knew exactly what it was, and I was like, wow, okay. Well, the first thing I thought of was, okay, this tablet's done. It fell off at a car wash. It fell down into the water. It's saturated. It's done. It's going to be ruined. But nevertheless, I'm going to go down there and find this thing, okay? Or, you know, confirm that it's mine. So I went down there, drove down there, got in there. Here's this guy, Richard. I met this Richard who was nice enough to call up to the dealership and do all that he did for me, went the extra mile. He said, is this your tablet? I said, yes, it is my tablet. He said, that's my iPad. He said, well, I said, does it even work? He said, the crazy thing is, he said, it does. He said, I'll let you check it out. He said, I don't know if you can charge it or whatever you want to do, but you could try. So I did everything I could. I tested it. I plugged it in. And it works. 100% works. It didn't crack the screen. It didn't. The water didn't ruin it. Now, if you know anything about these electronics, your phones are water resistant, but these tablets are not. So this thing was sitting in water. I don't know how long it was, but it did not ruin it. Didn't ruin the sound. Didn't ruin any mechanism of this. So I was just blown away and said, thank you, Lord. Now listen, I'm going somewhere with this story. I said, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for preserving this. Come on, I'm telling you guys, He'll give you the desires of your heart. You think God don't care about these things? He does. He cares about all these things. He said, the very hairs on your head is numbered. He knows the tears that fall from your eyes, and He puts them in bottles and stores them in heaven. Come on, He knows how many tears you've shed. He cares about you. So I went and I thanked Him, and we did a little video testimonial so that I could, He wanted me to do a video testimonial so that I could tell his manager that he went the extra mile so that it would be a blessing to him. So I drove away, and I was so, and the whole time I'm thinking, I got to hurry up because, you know, my family's waiting on me, this and that. But listen, I missed it because I got home and the Lord began to deal with me and said, listen to this. And I felt like the Spirit of the Lord was saying, I preserved this iPad, not just to be a blessing to you, but I purposely had this man find this. It wasn't a coincidence his name was Richard. That got my attention. But this individual was handpicked by the Lord to find my tablet so that I could connect with this man. I don't know what the connection is yet. I don't know what I'm supposed to speak to this man yet, but I trust the Lord. The Bible says that don't fear what you shall say in that hour, for it will not be you speaking, but the Holy Spirit will speak through you. So I've been looking for him for a couple days, but I've not seen him yet. But you know what? I believe with all my heart that God's going to connect me with this man. And when I get to him, I believe that God's going to give me a word of knowledge, and the Lord's going to put it on my heart to speak something to this man. And it's either going to refresh him, restore him, deliver him, or the Lord's going to use me, come on, to get this man saved and get him born again in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that right there. Praise the Lord right there. I'm telling you, God wants to use you where you're at. And I'm telling you that He's going to anoint you and empower you to get you out of the four walls of the church and go where they are, in the wilderness, in the bars, the clubs, the highways, the byways, the crack houses, come on, the whorehouse, wherever He's got to lead you to. Don't be afraid to get into the enemy's camp. Come on, get prayed up, get full of the Holy Ghost, and go in there and start plundering hell in Jesus' name. Whew. All right? And here's another, let me throw another spin on. I gotta give this to you. There are many that are lost in the house of God, believe it or not. There are many that are lost in the house of God. They're there in presence, but they're not in spirit. In other words, they're going through the motions. They're there every Sunday. They're punching the clock. They're there going through the motions, going through the rigmarole, but they've lost the fire. They've lost the flame, and they're prodigal in living. They may be there present on Sunday morning, but come on, outside of the church, you don't, come on, secretly behind closed doors, they're drinking again. They're using drugs again. They're depressed. Come on, they're falling away. They're in prodigal living. And this is a picture of this in Luke chapter 15, verse 8, when it says that there was a woman that had 10 silver coins. Silver is the picture of redemption. Says that she loses one coin, she lights a lamp, and she sweeps the whole house. Come on, she sweeps the house for the lost coin. Next time you go to church, ask the Lord, begin to reveal to you who's lost in the house. Oh, they may be there present, but they're hurting. They're broken. They're wayward. And they're looking for someone who will recognize their wounds. Come on, they've been wounded in the house of their friends. Hallelujah. And they're looking for someone to come along and help them and get them back on track. I got to get through this. All right. And then number two, I told you we've got some folks that we've got some prodigals that are like Jonah, that are running from the presence of God. I don't have time to develop all this, but you can go to the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and I'm going to break this down to you. Jonah gets called by God to go to Nineveh and preach to them repentance and to turn back to God. He doesn't want to heed the call. He doesn't want to do what God calls him to do, so he runs the opposite direction. Come on, somebody. He runs from the call of God, and the Bible says as a result he goes down to Joppa, down into a ship, down into the lowest parts of the ship. He lays down. He was tossed out of the ship and down into the sea. He is swallowed by a whale and goes down into the belly of the whale. And then last but not least, he goes down into the very gates of hell. The moral of the story here, friend, is when you run from the presence of God, from the call of God, and from the destiny that God has on your life, there's nowhere to go but down. It may not happen overnight, but your life is just going to be a spiral staircase. You're going to go, come on. Jonah went down to Joppa, down into a ship, down into the lowest parts of the ship. Then he began to lay down. Come on. You lay down your call. You lay down your purpose. You lay down your vision. And then then all hell began to break loose and toss him out of the boat. He goes down to the sea, goes down into the belly, and then he ends up going to hell. Come on, he's standing at the gates of hell, and then that's where he cries out in repentance. Come on, guys, don't wait till you're into the circumstance. Don't wait until you're in a jail cell. Don't wait until they're in a jail cell. Don't wait until you're broke, busted, and disgusted. Don't wait until they're broke, busted, and disgusted. Don't wait until they're knocking on the gates of hell. And don't wait until you're knocking on the gates of hell. Now is the time. We're in the season of Teshuvah. It's time to seek the Lord and Teshuvah. Turn back to Him. Heed the call. Come on, say yes to God and run with God in Jesus' name. Shoo. Now, it's time to pray. I've said all that. I've planted the seed tonight. I've delivered to you tonight what I felt like the Spirit of the Lord put on my heart. This is a prayer for the prodigals. So if you're watching this tonight by Facebook, by YouTube, or you're listening by podcast, and you are not one who's praying for the prodigal, you are the prodigal. You are about to be bombarded with prayers from every single person watching by Facebook Live, by YouTube, by listening by podcast. Listen, you are going to get bombarded with prayers of agreement for you, ma'am, for you, sir. And if you're watching this and you're not a prodigal son or a daughter, but you've got one of them on the other side. You've got a Jonah in your family that's running from God. You've got a prodigal son or daughter that has run out of the house of God and thought that they could be somebody, come on, in the kingdom of hell. But you know, and I know, they're being deceived, but they've got to come to their senses. Come on. If you and I know somebody that's been hurt and they've been wounded in the house of God by whatever, by someone who's played a hypocrite, by abandonment, by resentment, by false accusations, whatever the case may be, it's time to pray. Come on, let's pray right now. I want you to come into agreement with me as we begin to pray. Hallelujah. Father God, I've delivered this message as you've given it to me and spoken it. And I pray that this message would go forth right now. God, it would be as a two-edged sword. It would pierce the hearts and souls and spirit of those listening tonight by podcast, by Facebook Live, by YouTube, or however they may watch this tonight or today or tomorrow or whenever they may watch this, whether it be live or by the rebroadcast of this. God, the Spirit of God and the Word of God knows no barriers, no boundaries. You can pierce through walls, through cement, through concrete, through brick. There is no geographical boundary. There's no geographical restraints that can keep you from piercing their hearts. And that right now, I'm asking that the Holy Spirit of God would begin to convict. He would begin to arrest that prodigal son and daughter, whether it's those watching or whether it's those that we're agreeing for in prayer right now. Lord, meet them where they're at. Meet them where they're at. Father, we pray right now to the very root of what's causing them to be in prodigal living. Lord, whether it is lust, the lust of other things, whether it's materialism, whether it's the glamour and it's the fortune and the fame and it's the money and it's these things that's pulling them out of the house of God. God, I'm asking right now by the Holy Spirit that you would open their eyes, open the eyes of their understanding that they may know and understand what the trap is that the enemy has laid for them. Lord, that this is nothing more than a mere trap. God, you said in the Word of God, in the book of Luke, you said that during a process of time, the time came when the prodigal son came to his senses and he began to turn around. He began to turn back to the arms of the Father. He began to turn back and go back to where he came. God, I'm believing you for right now in Jesus' name that, Lord, I'm agreeing with that mother. I'm agreeing with that father. I'm agreeing with that husband. I'm agreeing with that wife. I'm agreeing with that sister, that brother, that aunt, that uncle, that nephew, that niece, that cousin. I'm agreeing with that neighbor that's praying for that neighbor. I'm agreeing for that co-worker that's praying for that co-worker, that boss that's praying for the co-worker, the co-worker praying for the boss. I'm praying for that member that's praying for that pastor that has been hurt and wounded in the house of God by other church members, by the sheep and by the goats in itself and by the tares that's driven him out of his own church. And he's somewhere, he's in an office somewhere, he's in a bar somewhere, he's in a club somewhere. When he's supposed to be back in the pulpit, back in the house of God, he's gone wayward. Oh, come on, Jonah. We're calling you back into the house of God. We're calling you back into the fold. We're calling you back into the pulpit. We're calling you back into your destiny. We're calling you back, prophet. We're calling you out, Elijah. We're saying, get out of the cave. Don't worry about Jezebel chasing you, because the Spirit of the Lord says that there is more than just you that have not bowed their knees to Baal, but God has a remnant in the land today. And he says, get up, get out of your cave of depression and cave of misery. Get out of the darkness. Get out of the seclusion. Get out of the place of reclusion, the place of reclusion, and get into the light. Get into the marvelous light. Be the salt and the light. Oh yes, be the eyes to the blind in which you've called. Open your mouth. Open your mouth, prophet, and prophesy. Open your mouth, teacher, and teach. Open your mouth, pastor, and pastor. Open your mouth, apostle, and cast your vision in this hour in Jesus' name. Don't let discouragement stray you away. Don't let, come on, dissension. Don't let strife. Don't let discord. Don't let the hypocrite keep you out of the house of God. Because God has called you for such a time as this to get back into the, come on, your rightful place in this hour. Come on, Esther. It's time that something on the inside rise up in you and say, if I perish, I perish. But I've got to see the King. I've got to see the face of the King. king because it's not for me, but it's for my whole family. I'm the only person in my family that's seeking God, that's serving God. And if I don't stand in the gap and make up the hedge, then no one's going to be saved. No one's going to get delivered. No one's going to get set free. Where are the Moses in this hour that are willing to stand in the gap and say to the Lord, Lord, if you're going to wipe them out, wipe me out. Come on. Who's got the heart of Moses in this hour? Come on. It's somebody that is prodigal living right now. Yes. You were strong at one time. You were a pillar in the house of God in one season, but you've allowed circumstances. You've allowed bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment, and all these things to drive you into the state of prodigal living. But God, by his rich and gracious mercy, is arresting you. He's quickening you, and he's drawing you out and back into your rightful place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And listen, if you go back to the arms of the Father and you've got a bunch of dried up, pruned church members that don't want to accept you, they don't want to receive you, shake the dust off your feet and go find another house of God that you can serve in, that you can be used in, and that God can be glorified in. Come on, life is too short. We don't have much time to deal with. Come on, he's redeeming the time, and now is the time. We're in the season of Teshuvah. It's time to turn and come back to, come on somebody, the house of God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, that somebody that was bound by drugs is free tonight. I thank you that somebody that was an alcoholic is free tonight. I thank you that somebody that was shooting up is throwing the needles away tonight. I thank you that somebody that was cutting is no longer going to cut tonight. I thank you that somebody who was in depression has now got the joy of the Lord unspeakable and full of glory. I thank you that someone who was running from God tonight is running to God tonight. Come on, somebody. I believe it. If you believe it tonight and you agree with me tonight, you're going to see it begin to happen. Yes, yes, Lord. I hear the Lord say, call them by name. Call them by name. Call them out. Lord, I call Brent back into the kingdom. I call him back into the kingdom in Jesus' name. I call him out of the gates of hell, and I call him back into the kingdom in Jesus' name. I call him out of the mud, the mire, and the prodigal living, am I calling back into the arms of the Father in Jesus' name? Come on, you got to start calling some people by name right now. Call them by name and call those things that be not as though they were by the Spirit of God tonight in Jesus' name. And you say, this is a little bit wild for me. This is too much for me. This is too Pentecostal for me. Well, guys, I don't apologize. Because I'm moved by the Spirit of God, and I'm going to do what God tells me to do, and I'm going to be obedient. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a son and a daughter, and they're gone astray, and they're living in prodigal living, I'm going to tell you something. I guarantee you that you're not going to tell a preacher who's praying for them to shut up. It's like a story I read two nights ago from Smith Wigglesworth, in which he spoke. He went into a house where there was a woman lying dead. She looked like death warmed over. He went to her husband, who sent a preacher come get Smith Wigglesworth and bring him to the house because he knew he was a man of faith. So he tells him to come in, and then Smith Wigglesworth begins to ask the man, the husband, to begin to pray for his own wife. And he asked the preacher to begin to pray for the husband's wife. And the husband began to pray, the preacher began to pray words of doubt and unbelief, and begin to ask that the Lord would begin to comfort the husband after his wife had passed. And Wigglesworth was so grieved that he wanted him to hurry up and stop praying because he was so quenched in the spirit. So then he asked the husband to pray, and the husband agreed with the preacher that just prayed, and he was full of unbelief. And then Wigglesworth finally rebuked him and said, "Get out of the way." He said, "I don't want your prayers of unbelief." And the husband was offended. Okay? But he run him out of the room. He got down on his knees, began to intercede and cry out, and began to rebuke the spirit of death off of this dying woman, and cancer left her body. And when the husband came back in the room, when Wigglesworth came back out there to get the husband, he brought him back in. The woman was in her right mind. The spirit of death came off of her. She no longer looked like death warmed over. She had an appetite. She was thirsty. She wanted to drink. She wanted to eat. She began to conversate. The man began to weep. Come on. I'm trying to tell you, friends, listen, when you want a real miracle and you want a real breakthrough, I'm going to tell you something. You won't be offended by a man or a woman of God who knows how to pray, and they know how to be in the intercede, and they know how to touch heaven, and they know how to move in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you right now, if I need a miracle, I'm not going to get, come on, brother, bucket mouth, negativity, word of doubt, come over and pray for me. No, 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 no. I'm going to get the man or woman of God that knows how to touch heaven, come on, and shake the kingdom of hell, come on, somebody, and get the attention of God. That's who I'm going to get. So I hope this has been a blessing to somebody tonight. Listen, I want you to share and tag some folks that need to hear this tonight. Tell them, we're in Teshuvah. Tell them we've got several messages to go. We've got more messages to come in this series. We're going to come back on here, Lord willing, on Wednesday or Thursday, and we're going to do another topic. We're going to do another message. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek the Lord, and I'm going to believe that He's going to give me exactly what some of you need and what we're going to believe, what I need. Guys, it's not just you. I've got people in my family. I've got friends that need this too, and I'm going to begin to pray, and I have been. And pray and travail and believe God for the impossible in this season. Okay? So endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you're not following us yet, please do that. Subscribe to us. Subscribe to push notifications. Subscribe to our daily digest. You can do that at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you're listening by podcast, that's where you go. That's going to be the main website location. That's the address that you go. If you're watching by Facebook, if you click on that link right there below, you're going to see a link. That's where you can go to subscribe. And listen, if you're listening by podcast, by YouTube, by Facebook, if you wish to support this ministry, if you wish to partner with this, maybe the Lord puts it on your heart to be a monthly partner with us. If maybe it's a one-time gift, whatever the case may be, you just want to be a blessing to our ministry because it exhorts you, it edifies you, it informs you, whatever the case may be, we want to encourage you by Facebook Live. You can click on the link below right there on the Facebook comments, and you can click on there, and it's going to take you to our main website where you can do that. You guys on podcast and by YouTube, if you'll just hang on at the end, when we close this, all that information is going to be given to you there on how you can be a supporter and a partner of this ministry as well. So we love you guys. God bless you. I pray that you've been touched by this word tonight. If you have, don't hesitate to shoot us an email, intimeheadlines@yahoo.com. You can Facebook message us. You could message us there on YouTube as well, or just our contact information is there at our main website, intimeheadlines.org, intimeheadlines.com. We always appreciate to hear from you and your testimony as well. So God bless you. We love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.